Hear my I praise you, Till it happened. up and now set free. But I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. I know.
Hallelujah. Now I know. Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate that. It feels good in here to me. I feel better already, somebody said. Want to welcome Sister Nona Atkins from, raise your hand, Sister Atkins, so they'll see who you are. She's from L.A., California, Brother D.L. Jones Church, one of his churches out there. Precious man of God and a leader among God's people. If you know Brother D.L. Jones, you have to love him. You can't help it. I just saw him in a meeting out in Louisville, and we had a great time out there. Anyway, she's praying and considering a move this direction. Brother Jones sent her here, so pray. I know she's just like all of us. She wants God's will in her life, and that's what we want for you, too. And so we'll just be praying with her. Feels good right now, Sister Nona. And then Sister Shay. She hadn't been here in a while, but I remember her coming with her sister before and see her get a good blessing up here today. Bless me, too. And, there's nothing greater than a touch of God on your life. It just removes all doubt. It erases all fear. There's such a release. There's such a liberty that's in him. Paul mentioned that in his letter to the Corinthians. He was talking about how that the Jews were bound because of their unbelief and fears concerning the law of God and the glory that was, there was glory in that dispensation. And he was trying to relate, if there was glory in that dispensation, how much more glorious is the administration of Christ? And of course they, Moses had to pull a veil over his face because it shone, and they didn't want to look on that. And that was a picture that God was letting them see, that you're having a hard time, looking at the things of God and having your, sometimes it's hard. You get bound in traditions. You get bound in your own ways. And when God starts dealing with you, you can just feel there's fixing to be a change. There's going to be a change. God's asking me to change. And sometimes people resist that. They'll shut their eyes to it. But he said that veil was took away in Christ. When you open your heart and let God begin to touch you, that's where that scripture is, where it said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It'll free you from those fears and doubts and fear to, I don't know why this is, but I know every one of us are guilty of it. When God starts dealing with us, we have a hard time, It's because we can feel God's fixing to take us into unknown territory. He's taking us into the unknown, and it's fearful to, you want to make sure it's God for one thing, God understands all of that. That's one of the things that. But if we know, when God does try to touch you, and if you don't give over to it, if you don't give over to God's touch, well, you'll miss it, like that band song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That's the kind of spirit we've got to have. That God, I want, you know, no matter how much I may be having a hard time, help me to release myself or give over to you and let you have your will in my life, where it'll set me free of those fears, and I'll be able to see you in a more clear way, more clearly. And I would also to be freed from the law of God. No one likes to look at the law of God because it's judgmental. There's a letter of the law that says, if thou shalt not. Nobody wants to look at that. Oh, don't tell me that. You know, the Bible says, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. And it's true. I've never had an ungodly person keep coming to church and say, I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to be godly. I'm staying ungodly. But just go ahead and tell me what the judgments of God are. I've never had anybody do that. They all get up and go out the door. So I'm not sitting here. I'm not going to stand in judgment. You're not going to judge me. The Word of God, you're not going to tell me the judgment. They want that. They put that veil over their face. But when you open your heart to God, the veil's lifted and there's liberty. There's freedom for your soul. There's life. And so, I really have an appreciation for God and His working in my life, and then to watch Him work in yours. There's nothing that blesses me more than seeing somebody else get blessed. In fact, I don't know of anything that'll inspire a church more than new people getting a hold of God, getting God in their lives. That's so inspiring to see somebody else get this. Sister Inez was talking about her grandma, and she was trying to figure it all out, but the only thing that'll bless you more than getting the things of God in your life is seeing somebody else get it too. Because it's so great, you want everybody to have it. That's why if you really get blessed, I saw Sister Wilson getting loose there today more than I've ever seen her. I appreciated that too. She's liable to get unwound here before it's over with. She's wound a little tight, but she was unwinding here today. I appreciated that. We all need that. We all need the touch of God and the yielding over to His Spirit. There's nothing that'll help you any more than that. And there's nothing that feels any better. It's just amazing what a release it is when God touches you and you finally are able to yield over to it, to where you feel that freedom. You feel that, you know, there's nothing, no resistance. God's not resisting you, and you're no longer resisting Him. And that's part of our training in serving Him. And Him finding the liberty to work in our lives. For us to open up all the doors and windows of our house and say, God, just come on in and rearrange things the way you want them. You have to grow in the Lord after the Lord comes into your life. And sometimes, did you know, I was telling the Bible class this morning that I've been pastoring for going on 35 years. I've watched. I've saw people, you know, embrace the things of God and God's touch on their life. And I've saw that some people can't get past just getting just getting established. Where's that scripture at? Let's look at that again. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 5. Is that where it is? It's either there or in Peter. I can't remember. Where he said, I think it's in Peter. Let me just look right quick. And then, yeah, that's the one I want. Where's that at? After you've suffered a while, the Lord it's in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, the first thing God has to do, it's certainly, you know, here he's first saying, after you've suffered a while, God make you perfect. But you first start, you start off getting settled. In our society, our terminology would be, the steps would be to get settled. I've seen some people spend their whole life, the whole time that they spend in church, just trying to get settled. They never can get it settled that I am going to serve God. I've made up my mind. I've counted the cost, and I must go on, the song says. God has touched me. He's showed me. I like what Sister Inez said when he said, "You need me." She said, "I do." Yes, you do. You need God. In fact, God's whole purpose in creating this whole world and all the universe and all the galaxies, is there anything? is the universe in, huh? Kind of encapsulates all the galaxies and everything in them, right? So, I don't know if there's any more universes, but if there are, they're going to have to be included too. That God's whole purpose. There's a place I think he mentioned in Isaiah when he was in the 14th chapter. I believe it's in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, where he was talking the proverb to the king of Babylon. But he went on after that and said the whole, hold 1 Peter 5, because I'm not done there, but this verse just jumped out in my mind. I just thought, because I think it says, where he was talking about, look at verse 26 of Isaiah 14. It said, "This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations." God purposed. God's got a purpose. And he's got a purpose for the whole earth. At that time, he was purposing to see to it that Assyria had no more stronghold on Israel nor Babylon. But... God has purposed that he would have an eternal family. And that's what this is all about, and that's why you're here. You're not just, you know, you weren't born in this world just do whatever you want to do. You were born here because God created all of this so that His purpose would be fulfilled and that those that were would respond to Him. That those that responded to Him could have and be a part of His eternal household, His eternal family. If you like this world, you're gonna like what God's got fixed up for us. Eternity. Whew. Sister Inez, I can shout with you. I feel good about this. I feel good about what God's done for me, what I've become a part of, and what He's done for my life. But it don't even scratch the surface of what He's got laid up for us. I'm talking about a place where there ain't no sorrow. Forget about in sorrow you can be glad. You can just be glad without any sorrow. No sickness. No separation. No troubles. My God in heaven, I want to go. I'd almost go today if you'd take a load and say I could go, Brother Tally. But I'm going to be patient and wait till my time comes. Because I've got more to do. I'm not, the Lord hadn't called, my number hadn't come up yet. But no tears. Place like that, I want to go. Where everybody's happy. Everybody gets along. There's no suspicions. No thieves. No murderers. No, all of the corruption that's in the world. There won't be nothing like that there. And God has made a plan and a purpose for that. And it said to me, you can go too. You can be a part of that. You can have your place in that. All you have to do is let me lead you. Yield over to me and let me show you the way. But you've got to let me be your Lord. You've got to follow my instructions. You can't just sit around. You can't spend your, when I call you into this, I want you to get it settled. Quit jacking around. Ain't that a term in this world? Quit messing around. Quit playing with this. Make up your mind. Get it settled. Hey, God, Joshua said, are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve these other idols and these other gods? He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I've made up my mind. It's settled. I've received enough that I know which way to go. And I'm not turning back. I'm not looking back. And he worked them over that day. And so you got to get settled. I'm serious about this. I know people that's been working on getting that settled in their heart for 40 years. I've watched people. I've had people under my ministry. I've seen them up and down, in and out, round and round. 20 years go by. They're still doing the same old thing. And you got to make up your mind. Of course, I wasn't one, I didn't make up my mind to get the Holy Ghost. But I'm just going to tell you, when you hear the message about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to just say, bless God, I want it. How do I get it? And whatever you got to go through, it's a gift and it's not hard to get. The only thing hard is what's between your ears. Hard-headed. And some people have trouble with that. Some people have, it's hard for them to yield over. Some people, I've got a cousin that he's been in this now, I guess probably 30 years, and he still don't know if he's got the Holy Ghost. And he's been prayed through so many times and spoke in tongues till his tongue nearly bled. But he's not sure yet. because he wants to be sure. Well, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's there's no charge for it. All you have to do is die. All you got to do is say, God, I want to serve you and I want everything you want me to have. And then you've got to yield yourself over to let him baptize you with his wonderful spirit. Or for you to go through, it's a birth process to be born, his spirit to be born in you. It'll come into your life. God wants to give it to you. It's just, can you receive it? Will you receive it? But you can't just, you got to be careful about not allowing yourself to spend a whole lifetime wrestling with the flesh and making up your mind. See, I think everybody, really, I believe everybody wants to be righteous. Somewhere down in everybody's heart, they want to be righteous. It's putting legs to that want to. It's putting effort to that want to. And there's, there's things that I can tell you. I can give you some instruction. If you want the things of God, then show up and hang around. And do it regular. Be faithful. Get here. You'll get the things of God. This is where God does this, how he chose to do it. We didn't make this up. He's the one that said, he made a tabernacle. He said, you come in my tabernacle and worship me. You come here and you feel my presence. I'll give you my words. My ministry will talk to you. I put gifts in men's lives for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. It's for you. God did it for you. And he wants you to have it. And so, that's the first thing you got to do. You got to get it settled. That this is the way I'm going to go. I'm rejecting the way of the world. I'm rejecting the way of everybody that's my friend and family that don't like it. I had a lot of temptation. I had a lot of problems when I first made up my mind to serve God. I've had lots of people ask me to miss church and go somewhere else with them on Sunday or do whatever. But after a while, you know what? They quit asking me, Brother McGowan, because they knew the answer. They knew he goes to church on Sunday. Ain't no sense in asking him. He ain't going to come over here for a barbecue, start out 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever. He's going to be with the people of God. That's his life. My wife and kids didn't ask me. They knew where we're going to go, because I made up a mind for us where we were going. There was a time in my life when I was young that I wasn't settled. I thank God for my wife. I quit going to church. But she wouldn't quit. She just kept going. She went without me. And that worked on me. If she would have quit with me, we could have backslid together and, had some fun in the world. But she wouldn't do it. She said, I got to go to church. Of course, I couldn't stop her from going to church. What kind of animal is that? Won't even let his own wife go to church if she wants to go. So she went to church and left me at home. And I knew that I was messing up, because I knew that was my place to see to it that we were answering God's call on our lives. One day she came home and I was laying in the living room floor watching the Dallas Cowboys play football. And before she got home from church, I was laying there and God was dealing with me, and I was already under deep conviction. And she walked in the door and just started talking to me. And, of course, I was all under this conviction, knowing that I should be in church with her and all this, and she realized there was something wrong with me, and she walked over to me and sat down on the floor beside me and started kind of rubbing me like a little puppy dog. She said, "Honey, what's wrong?" I just broke down and started crying like a baby, Sister Tally. I said, "God's dealing with me. I don't want to give in to it, but I said, I know I'm going to have to." Well, the Lord touched me right there that day. The next Sunday, I got up and got my shower and my suit on, went to church, and I've been going ever since. Sister Abraham, it's good to have your daughter. I know your name, but I can't call it. Michelle. And what's the... Yeah, Janine, but the little preacher sitting next to you. Zachary. He dressed up like a preacher. Maybe you're going to be a preacher someday if you keep coming. He's shaking his head no. I shook mine no, too, but look at me. I'm standing up here, ain't I? Well, we're glad to have you. This has got to get settled in your heart. I mentioned this in Bible study. I'll mention it again because it's a little saying I've got a hold of that I think's worth we can use it. Because did you know if you're not careful, you can spend your whole life and just let it. It can just go by. You won't have a purpose in life. You won't have... Let me give you a scripture in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And where it says that we're all to grow up in the fullness, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then in Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That there's to be an effectual working in the measure of every part. You are a part. And you're to somewhere, somehow, you're to become effective in the measure that God gives you. You've got a calling. You're a member in particular in the body of Christ. And you are to be effective in the measure of the part God has given you and called you. Because every one of us have a talent. Every one of us we have gifts from God. Just like when you were born naturally, you were born with gifts and talent. Some people are artists. Some people are musicians. Some people are singers. Some people are preachers. Some people are carpenters and mechanics. And they've got natural gifts. When you're born of God, of the Holy Ghost, you get spiritual gifts. And God wants to use that. He wants you to find your gift. You say, "Well, Brother Smith, I don't know what my gift is." Well, what can you do? God asked Moses. Moses said, "Well, how am I going to do what you're asking me to do?" He said, "What's in your hand?" He said, "A rod." He said, "All right, take that rod and do what I told you to do." See, it was the rod of Moses starting out, but when you read a little later, it was called the rod of God. See, whatever's in your hand, what can you do? Get settled. Get it settled. You can't do anything to get settled because people's watching you, your family, your friends. Everybody's watching you. And they know you're not settled. If you're not, If you're not settled, they say, I don't know, one day they're living a Christian life and the next day they're in a bar. Or the next, you know, you don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what they're doing. That you can't follow them because they don't know where they're going. But when you get settled, your life can have an effect on others. And God, this is God's purpose. God's purpose is that as many as He can save, that He can save and make a part of this everlasting kingdom. This where there is no more death. And look, there's fun along the way. I can tell you right now, I'm having fun in here. This is the most interesting thing I know of. I'm telling you. You know, you young people, y'all don't know this, but I'm going to tell it to you. There used to be a movie on TV called Peyton Place. It was a what do you call that? Soap opera. It's kind of like a soap opera, but it was a nighttime soap opera. I'm telling you, everything that you can imagine was going on in that soap opera. I guess maybe the later show that was a parallel to it maybe was Dallas. But I never did watch Dallas. But I think I'm right. It was a soap opera too, wasn't it? I mean, it had every kind of. But I'm telling you, everything God's done, the whole history of God tops it all. I'm telling you, this book right here is full of outlaws, thieves and murderers and harlots and wizards and soothsayers, witches. But it's full of love stories. It's full of, Romeo and Juliet can't touch some of the stuff. It's got romance in it, but it's got there's affairs in here that's going on. I mean, life, it's full of what goes on in life. But all these people have been touched by God, and most of them was delivered from the corruption and found the joy unspeakable. Part of it, of God's purpose. You can time out for station identification. Well, I'm just telling you, it's in here. We're still living in ourselves. We got a little soap opera going right here. 8101 Colonel Glenn. Yeah, I get news every day about it. You know, Facebook's even enhanced all of that. So, it's the most interesting thing, what God's doing. See, I'm in on what God's doing and what He has been doing since He created the universe. I'm in on it. I'm learning more about it all the time. I'm in on the know of what matters. Because everything else is going to pass away. Everything else is just it's just the clay that's laying down on the floor when the potter gets finished. Everything else is just, you know, what God, it's the waste of that was left when God finished His work. And it's all going to go in the burn pile. God's going to get rid of all of it. But look, if you're not careful, you'll live your whole life and it'll be over. Now let me tell you, and this is the truth. I don't know where I got this, but my mother would tell you it's the truth. I started out a little boy. If you would have asked me when I was a year old, how old are you? I'd have probably said, I'm going on 2. Because I always wanted to be older. I don't know why, Maybe because I was a middle child, my brother was, he's a year older than me, 15 months older. And I always wanted to be included on everything he did. So I always wanted to be big enough to do whatever Fred was doing. But I will tell you, I've got over that. I'm not wanting to be any older, Brother Dodson. I do appreciate every birthday that rolls by more than I ever have before. But I'm not hoping that the next one gets here anytime soon, and I'm not claiming it ahead of time. I was 17 when I met my wife, and I told her I was 21. And then when we started talking about getting married, and I told her how old I really was, she said, "You lying outfit." She said, "If you can't tell the truth." Well, you said, "Yeah, you did. You said, if you don't want to marry me, you don't have to lie about your age." See, because she thought I was telling her I ain't old enough to marry you. I was just telling her the truth of how old I was. I said, "We can't get married. My daddy and mama would have to sign, and they ain't going to sign." She said, "Look, if you don't want to marry me, you don't have to come up with some lie like this." You know, because I had already made her believe I was older. Yeah, see, I mean, I'm telling you, I ain't always been in church. I grew up in church, but I snuck out a few times. I messed up some, but I got straightened out. And I'm all right now. I'm still working on some things, but if you'd have seen me when I started, you'd have said, "Boy, there's an improvement." But if you're not careful, even, you know, in this natural life, if you're not careful, you can spend your whole life just trying to get settled. I used this yesterday morning, and this morning I'll tell the class here that a vision without a task is just a dream. If you've got a vision, or if you've got hope, you've got a vision of what you want to be in life. You got a vision of what you want to be in God, but you don't have any legs to that vision. You're not working. You don't have any plan. You don't have any. You haven't figured out a way. There's no goals set. You're not willing to put any discipline to achieve it. You're just dreaming. You just have a dream. That's all you got. Because it ain't never going to... It's just... You're talking about a rainbow. I got a motorhome on the back of it. I've been wanting to get this off of there ever since I got it. But it's painted on there. And it's a pretty paint job. But I don't know how to... I'd have to have the thing redone. But it says Rainbow Chaser. Well, I don't want anybody to think I'm a rainbow chaser. You're going down the road chasing a rainbow. You ain't never going to find it, you know. Well, if you've got a vision with no task, there's no, you know, James said, faith without works is dead. You just might as well not have any faith. If you don't really believe in what this word says, then if you believe it, you're going to do it. But if you don't believe it, if you just say you believe it, but you won't do it, you don't really. You're just saying, "I hope I can believe it. I want to believe it someday." But if you really believed it, I talked on this one time in Winters, Texas. I never will forget. They had an old man and his wife, Brother and Sister King. And I was talking about hell. I said, "People don't really believe in hell out here in this religious world." I said, "If they did, they'd be living right. They really believed it was going to fry and pop and burn to a crisp and still be alive screaming and hollering, and that's going to go on forever and ever." "Brother John, you didn't believe that. If you had, you'd have got in here a lot quicker than you did. You'd have come running. That's a place Jesus went. They say Jesus went to and held a 3-day revival, not got one. He didn't get a taker. Not one of them said, 'I want out of here.'" God. He'd have emptied the place if there had been a place like that. But I was preached on that morning. Brother King told me after service, he said, "You know what, Brother Smith?" He said, "You're right." He said, "People don't really believe." He said, "You take my wife." He said, "She don't believe that. If she did, she'd straighten up." He couldn't hardly wait to get out of church when he told me that, so he could get him another dip of snuff. He couldn't hardly wait, but he's had to tell me. You know, I thought, this guy's got pitchfork religion. He's pitching all this off on her, and he ain't raking none of it in for himself. Well, a vision without a task is just a dream. And then, a task without a vision. If you're working, you don't have any goals, you don't have a vision of where this is taking you, what you're going to accomplish in life, you just got a job, is all you've got, and it will become a drudgery. You know, if you come to try to serve God and you don't have an understanding of the hope that's in Christ, did you know going to church will become a job to you? It'll become a drudgery. Yeah, you hate it. But if you've got hope, if you know about the joy of serving Him, if you know if He's worked things in your life, if He's worked deliverance in you, and the more you serve Him, the greater it gets, and the stronger you become and in right ways of living, just righteousness. The more pure your heart gets, the more He purifies you or helps you to purify yourself. It's all saying the same thing. You can't do it without Him. But, oh God, the more freedom from corruption. You know, you look at others and you have such pity and you want to give them what you've got, but you can't. A task without a vision is just a job. But a vision with a task, it's the hope of the world. It's the road to success. If you put legs to your vision, you and I can tell you, some of you older people, you think, well, you know, I don't know what I'm accomplishing. Well, make up your mind. How long are you going to live? How much longer are you going to live? How many years you think you got left? Well, just estimate it. 15. All right, Sister Hutchinson, you got 15 years, and you better get busy. You need to get busy. You need to make a plan. What are you going to do with the next 15 years? How are you going to accomplish God's calling on your life? You need to set some goals. Put a task to it. Your vision. Broaden your vision. Make up your mind. I'm settled that I'm going to serve Him. But now I want to strengthen what I'm settled in. I want to put some strength, some power. I want to put some virtue to it. I want to make up my mind what I'm going to do for God. What I want to accomplish this year, next week, tomorrow. You know, I'm working on that in my own life. I'm making up my mind. I know about how many, on the average, about how many years of strength I've got left if I live long enough. And I'm working on what am I going to try to accomplish in that length of time. What is my calling? What can I do? What has God given me power to do? You say, well, I'm not sure exactly what God wants me to do. What's in your hand? What can you do? If you can blow a horn, well then blow it. Blow it the best it can be blown. You know, when a band's practicing, make that a priority. I'm going to be there. I'm going to work on this. We're going to have one of the best bands. If every member in the band said, we're going to have Bless God, we're going to bless the body. We're going to bless this church. We're going to bless everybody that comes in it. And we put legs to this. Let's make up our mind. I'm gonna have a plan. I'm gonna work my plan. You know, I'm gonna put forth some effort. I'm gonna put some legs to my vision. If you just say, well, okay, sera, sera, whatever will be, that's just what's going to be. You know, it's the same way in getting settled. It's the same commitment. Look what he said in 2 Peter 1 there. When he said, wherefore, he said, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall, and an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into his everlasting kingdom. It takes diligence. You have to put forth an effort. Make up your mind. Get it settled. First thing you got to do is get it settled. So, and then strengthen. Add some strength to your being settled. You know, make up your mind. Now I'm here. I made up my mind to serve him, so I'm going to get all this. I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to apply I'm going to discipline myself to get this understanding. And I'm gonna let God use me. I'm gonna put forth an effort. I'm gonna do the things I can do to be a part of His kingdom, His church, the church. I'm gonna work in the church. I'm gonna come to church. Every time I come to church, I'm gonna say, God, here I am. Use me. I'm available. If you want to use me, I'm available. I just may be trembling in my boots or shaking in my hands, sweating, but I'm available. Try me and see if I'm not. I may get up, I may mess up, I may burn when I sit down, but I'll just burn on. And I'll burn the next time until I learn how to do something. You know what the difference is between a big shot and a little shot? A big shot just keeps on shooting. That's the difference. He just keeps at it, just stays after it. I get tickled at Brother Johnny Miller. He's like the Ever Ready Bunny. You know, he gets set down almost every time he gets up in a meeting. He was kind of comical in this meeting. He didn't get set down because he got up and he had a plan. And he gave us a little message. But the message was, here's my message. It's why y'all need to listen. He was talking about how prophets are subject to the prophets, and the younger men sometimes have something to say. That was his whole message. He was working on that. He told us in Ducoin, they set him down so many times, he said, when he finally got up and got a little bit of time to talk, and before he sat down, he said, oh yeah, he said, God wanted me to tell y'all something. He wanted to tell y'all that he's not happy with y'all setting me down when I get up and talk. And then he put the mic down right quick. Well, but I'm going to tell you something. He's going to wind up with a voice in this body because he don't never quit. He don't give up. He wants to be a part of this. He wants to say something. It might not be right, and he may be out of order half the time, but he'll finally get it right, hopefully. But he's going to be a big shot if he keeps shooting. You know, and I mean, if I'm going to be a big shot, I want to be the right kind. I want to have the right attitude and I want God to be in it. But I want to do something for God, don't you? I want to be effective. I appreciate everyone that, you know, I appreciate all of you that are faithful. You've got it settled to be here. And be a part. I can depend on you. I know if you're not going to be here, I'm going to know why. So you're going to let me know. You're going to say, you know, Brother Smith, I'm going to be there, you know, next Sunday. I want you to know. In fact, some of you even say, Brother Smith, is it all right if I miss next Sunday? I like that. That's telling me I won't go. If there's something important enough that I shouldn't, I'll consider that. I appreciate that. People that are that humble, I fear those kind of people. In fact, they receive more liberty from me that don't. Because I'm, you know, because they are so faithful. When they do want to do something, I want them to have that liberty, because I know they're not going to, they've thought about it before they ever asked me, because they're so faithful. So I appreciate that kind of spirit. You know, I think God loves that. But I just know that how God looks at things. When he knows whether or not you care more about what he's doing, what his purpose is. And the church, what did he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Here's what he said. He said, consider the lilies. He said, you know, he said, God, Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like these. He was just showing, look, God takes care of the lilies of the field. Look at the sparrow, he said. And then he was telling them, look, don't worry about what you're going to eat or how you're going to be clothed or where you're going to have a roof over your head. But he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added to you. My God. And there's people out here working their fingers to the bone just trying to make sure they've got the clothes that they want to wear and the food that they want to eat and the roof over their head. That's all you're going to get anyway. You know, I mean, I can tell you right now, you can get there in a Volkswagen just as probably as easy as you can get there in a Cadillac. But I'm not telling you you got to drive a Volkswagen. God will, you know, if God blesses you enough, you can drive a Cadillac. He wants you to have the best. God's not against you having good things if you can handle it. But he just wants you to put him first. Just put me first in your life. Get that settled, that I'm a child of God and I'm going to serve him. Get that settled. Then, now I'm going to live for him, and I'm going to find out more about this. I'm going to get the strength of it. I'm going to get the understanding of God's purpose and how to work in his kingdom. Get busy. Get started in this great big soap opera of the history of God and God's people and what he's done since the creation of the world. Get it assimilated in your mind. Get it applied to you. Because you'll see how God worked in all of these historical stories and how it applies to your life. And then, not only don't just get strengthened, but get established. You know, wouldn't you like to be so fixed in God that nothing could separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing could come against you that could blow you out, shake you. The Bible tells us he's going to shake everything that can be shaken so that cannot be shaken will remain. God can fix you in a way that nothing can shake you out of his purpose or his kingdom. That's what I'm working on. I've got some strength. I've proved that. I've been here long enough to prove I've got enough strength to show that I'm settled. But what I'm working on is established, being established, for nothing could separate me. You know, I ain't been thrown in jail. I hadn't been beat with 40 stripes. I hadn't had the cattails applied to me for preaching the gospel or living it or testifying or singing or praying. Daniel got through in a lion's den. The three Hebrew children got through in a... But you know what they said? If he delivers me or he don't. still am going to serve him. Praise God, there's something that had worked in their lives. God worked something in their lives that they were fixed on. They had a commitment, and they did you know God can touch you deep enough? Brother Durham was telling me yesterday, and this is I don't want this to be offensive, but he said, Brother Smith, sometimes younger men scare me. Because he said, I came in this from Babylon. I saw how that men can give up or let up on, and they can compromise, and they can not make stands on righteous principles. I saw it tear up a whole body of people. I saw them lose out with God, lose the Spirit of God. When I came in here and I saw these principles, these traditions, and I saw that, and he said, and I loved it because I saw the Spirit of God that it brought into people's lives. And he said, I don't ever want to see this body lose that. And of course, he was reading my mail because I'm concerned about making sure that the younger generation gets planted deep enough in this that we won't lose that. Because if we're not careful, there'll be too much compromise. That's why I can't let down. There are certain things I can't let down on. I don't want to see men compromise, just let little things come in here and there and just relax things till finally the world's crept its way back into the church. And we've got to be careful, or we'll... And I came in. Let me tell you something. It's a good thing that this body, it has had, always has had, and always will have men that came in from out there. We need that. It brings a balance. I know myself. I came in here from out there. I came in here from Babylon. I know what's out there. I know what can happen if you let go too much. There's people that's raised in this, and they don't have that experience. They hadn't seen that. They hadn't sat in churches where, you know, for years go to church. And before maybe in a year you have one service like we had today. And sometimes 2 or 3 years, and in some churches never had it. And they don't know how to have it anymore. They've lost that. And then that you know, there has to be a balance. I know that. We've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But to be established and you know, have a vision and have legs to make up your mind. It doesn't matter, no difference how old you are. There's still something you can accomplish. There's still something you can do. If you're still here, God's not done with you yet. He told John, you know, John was the last living apostles. He said, you still got to prophesy before peoples, nations, and tongues. You're not done yet. He told the apostle Paul, he said, you ain't dying in this shipwreck. I ain't through with you yet. You got some things you got to do. I've called you for that purpose. Well, you're still kicking, then there's something you can do. Brother Dodson, there's a job for you to do. I'm glad to see Brother Dodson. He's been faithful to take care of his wife and all of her sickness and ailments, and she's gone now, and the Lord's released him of that. Now he can get back to work in the kingdom of God. Not that he ever quit it, but he's, you know, I'm just saying that he's moved into another phase of life. There's no doubt God's in that. We just have to accept that and go on. But we want to keep praying for him, that God will keep comforting him and helping him. And I miss DJ, and you know, I know he, how long has he got to stay in his cast more? 8 weeks he's got to stay in it. Well, all right. Well, I know the Lord's working in him, working in his life. Anyway, I just wanted to inspire you, if I could, a little bit today to get some legs on your vision. You know, just make up your mind. I'm not finished. My work isn't finished. And you young people, you know, you've got great life ahead of you in the things of God. God called you to this. And you can put some, you know, you can put some legs to, you can begin to set some goals of what you're going to do. You know, I don't mean you can't get it all figured out and established. All of us got to have room, get to leave room. We got to be flexible enough to let God, you know, have his part, make sure that if he wants to adjust what we're, you know, sometimes our thinking has to be adjusted. We thought God wanted us to do this, but we see he's adjusting that. He's heading me in another direction now. You got to be flexible enough to let the Lord lead you and direct your steps. But be busy, like Jesus said when he was 12 years old. Let's all say this. I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. That feels good, doesn't it, to say that? Jesus had that understanding. I've got a purpose here. I've got a calling. God's got something he wants me to do. And I must do it. I must get busy. Hallelujah. All right. Find out if dinner's ready downstairs. 10 more minutes. All right. We've got time for prayer requests. And if the ushers will come after the request, we'll receive your tithes and offerings. Dinner day today. Praise God. And if you've never ate the cooking of the women in the Little Rock Church, well, then you've got something to experience. It'd be good. Very good. Youth night, youth service tonight at 5 o'clock. What about band practice? 4 o'clock band practice. No choir practice tonight or this evening at 3. Youth band at 3. Regular band practice at 4. All right, let's remember, keep remembering Brother Sturgeon, buried Sister Sturgeon this past week. And I know that's a great loss to him. Let's remember that. Keep remembering Brother David Angelo, has stage 4 colon cancer, taking chemotherapy. Let's keep praying. God, give him a miracle. Yes. Brother Henry, pray for him. He really needs your prayers. He's got a lot of problems in life right now, so keep praying for him. Keep praying for Sister Atkins. God would direct her steps and lead her. Sister Wilkins, keep remembering her. Her son got her own Meals on Wheels this week, so that was good. Sister Cindy. Sister Nell Sugg passed away in Fort Worth. Remember that family, Sister Bryant. Brother Larry Bryant, remember him. What about the Goldens? Yeah, but Brother and Sister Golden, they must be, maybe they're downstairs by now. I don't know. Anyway, pray for them. I know they're having some struggles in life. Who had their hand up back here, Brother Brett? Did Sister at? All right, Sister Donna, her boys, pray for her sons. Brother Stewart, Brother Daniels, all right, pray for him. Brother Crafton, all right, Brother Crafton, Brother Nathaniah. All right, Sister Gladys. She home? All right, keep praying for her. She had surgery this week, and it was a little more intense than what the doctors thought, but she's recovering well, last report I got. And so keep praying for her. Sister Abraham. All right. Sister Elsie's son, Randy, had this heart attack, and it's really humbling. He knows God touched him and saved his life, and so be praying for him. I'd like to see that family get moved down here and get in church. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. All right, let's stand and ask God. Also, pray for the food. Let's give God thanks for that and our fellowship together downstairs. And the service, the youth service tonight at 5 o'clock. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your mercy and grace. Oh, God, we love you today, Lord, and appreciate your goodness to us and your touch. Oh, God, on our lives here today, your presence and your spirit, Lord. God, meet these needs that were mentioned. Oh, God, those that are urgent. Brother Sturgeon's loss. Comfort him today, Lord. The Sugg family and their loss of Sister Nell. Oh, God, those that are sick in their bodies, God, touch them. Help them, Lord. Oh, God, precious Lord, those that need direction, unspoken requests, Lord, meet every need, God. Touch your people. Lead and direct and guide their steps. Oh, God, that we would know you're our shield and buckler. You're our help in the present time of need, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the food and our fellowship together today, Lord. A service tonight, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, if you'd be seated, ushers will kindly receive your tithes and offering. Lord, bless you as you give.